Life is all about perspective. When you look at the words perspective, what does perspective mean? What is perspective? By definition, perspective is a particular attitude toward or way of regarding something. It's a point of view. When you look at Christmas at its core in a Christmas perspective, there are so many different perspectives on this topic. Depending on what culture you come from, what background you are a part of, some people celebrate Christmas as the birth of Christ. Jesus is the reason for the season. That the very word Christmas in itself reflects Christ. Some people do not celebrate it as Christ. They simply celebrate it as a holiday. Something that is known to give gifts. It's a season of giving, of joy and happiness. Some people don't even celebrate Christmas at all. And it all comes from perspective. What is your perspective? What is your point of view? This morning, I want to talk to you about this simple thought, a Christmas perspective. And when you look at it, what is the point of view? What is God's perspective for Christmas? Instantly, we think, oh, it must be the birth of Christ because that's why we're here. That's what we celebrate, right? That's God's perspective. But I would submit to you this morning that it's not just about the birth of Christ. That may not be God's true point of view. That may not be his perspective. Because as we look at the birth of Christ, we look at it as the beginning. We look at it as something that gives us life and hope through the life of Christ. But yet for God, it was so much more than that. Because it's not just about what he did, it's why he did it. The birth of Christ was always meant, catch this, for you. The birth of Christ was always meant for you and your salvation. When you look in Scripture in Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, you see God's creation. He created this world to be perfect, no harm, no foul. Everything was just wonderful and beautiful. But he created man in his image, and with that, he created you with a free will. And with that free will, you're able to choose what you do. Therefore, he gave them a choice. He put the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the middle of the garden. He said, do not eat of this tree. Do not touch this tree. But what happened? Because man has a free will, Satan, through the serpent, tempted Eve. She partook of the fruit. What happened? Sin entered the world. But in Genesis chapter 3, 14 and 15, you see the beginning of God saying, listen, yes, this happened, but Satan, serpent, you will be crushed by this. And we see the promise of a Messiah. We look over and over through scriptures where there was prophecy being foretold and telling them of great things that were happening. Look in Luke chapter 2. In Luke chapter 2, we see a great thing that happens that we know of as the birth of Christ. The shepherds are in the fields. They're there. And we read in verse 8, it says, that night shepherds were staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified. But the angel reassured them, do not be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped in snuggling strips of cloth lying in a manger. Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others of armies of heaven, praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased. Now, this is interesting because this was a fulfillment of prophecy. We read it just a moment ago in Isaiah chapter 9. It says, unto this day will be born in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And we see that's what happened right here. We read it in Isaiah 9, and here we are now seeing it here again being foretold. It happened. Whether or not you believe in the Bible, you believe in God as the Savior, as our Father and as the Son, Jesus as the Son, the Holy Spirit as our Comforter. Whether that's not your belief or not, one thing is true that people can all, a foundational truth we can all agree upon, the Bible is one of the most historical evidence, pieces of evidence in the world today. It's used by non-believers, used by everyone as historical points to give us a reference of where and how things happened throughout history. And when you see that, one of the things that causes pause, that causes people to literally think, how can this God be real, is the simple fact that over and over and over in Scripture, there is prophecy that tells of what's going to come, and then it happens. And it literally messes with the minds of those who try to rationalize and dissect and understand how this could be. We see several scriptures. Look at this graph right here of the pictures being foretold. You can see it. You see an Old Testament prediction, then a New Testament fulfillment. In Micah chapter 5, it says Christ would be born in Bethlehem. We see in Matthew 2, verses 1 through 10, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, Isaiah 43 and 5, it says Christ would be preceded by a messenger chosen by God. Mark 1, 2, John 1, 29, Jesus was introduced to Israel by John the Baptist. Christ, and we see here Isaiah 28, 16, Christ would be the foundation which the new covenant would be based. We see in 1 Corinthians 3:11, 1 Peter 2, 4, verse 3-8, Jesus is called the foundation. Over and over, we see that Jesus Christ will be preached the good news to all the world. Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 2, 52, 42, 49. We see all these passages. And then we see in the New Testament where Jesus is fulfilling that prophecy. We know it because Jesus came and said what? I did not come to abolish the law, but I came to fulfill the law. So we see this paradigm here when we look at this process and you see God's perspective. You're saying, what is God's perspective? And this concept of Christmas, his perspective was that he have a relationship with his creation from the very beginning. God desires to know you. He wants you to experience him. He wants you to feel his love. This is what separates our God from so many other religions and so many other gods. Other gods are simply a form, an act of worship. They're a way you worship their God. But when you get to know our God, you realize that he is the one true living God. And by knowing him, you experience him. Why do you experience him? It's because this was his perspective. This was his point of view from the very beginning of time, to always have connection with his creation. In Genesis chapter 3, when sin entered the world and it separated man from God, if you remember the story, Adam and Eve, they hid. God walks to the garden. He says, where are you? They said, they created fig leaf of clothes. They said, we're hiding because we're afraid. He said, why are you afraid? You've done something wrong. And then we see in verse 14 and 15 where he gives us the promise of the Messiah. But then you know what happens in Genesis 3? Immediately after that, it says he clothed them with skin. What did that mean? That mean there was a blood sacrifice that took place to bring connection back to them at the very beginning. Why? From God's perspective, it was always his plan to be connected with his creation. And he said, I cannot have this disconnection. So he created that. But he knew that Christmas was coming. He knew there would be a day where his son would be the sacrifice for our sins. Which is why we see through all of these prophetic words and prophesying of Jesus coming, we see them, why? All to reconnect God's creation with the Creator. Because he is the one true living God, the God that loves you and wants to embrace you so you can experience him and know him. So I want to look at some things. Why do we celebrate Christmas? We celebrate Christmas to remember that you are loved by God. It's not simply just the birth. The birth was what? A process of bringing Christ into this world that he would die on the cross, become human, live a sinless life, die on the cross for our sins as the blood sacrifice to connect us back to God. So we celebrate Christmas so that you can remember and know. Or maybe you're here today and you don't even know this, that you can know you are loved by God. John 3:16 says it like this. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. To save the world through him. I want to ask you a question. I want you to close your eyes for a moment. You're thinking, man, that was close. That was quick, right? Now, this is just a reflection time, just for a moment. Answer this question. Who is the most valuable person in your life? Whether it's a child, a loved one, a spouse, the most valuable. When you have it, just make eye contact. Just look up. You're done. You know who they are. You have it in your mind. The most valuable person. I'm not talking about Jesus. We know, but I'm saying on this earth. Most valuable. I know some of you, you're grouping some kids, and you know, I am not going to separate. That's fine. Now, let me ask you, are you willing to give that person up to be tortured and killed so that others can have freedom? Are you willing to do that? Some of you, that's setting in, isn't it? The brevity of that. It's setting in. It's like, whoa. In John 15, it says like this, greater love has no one than this, than if they're willing to lay down their life. But I don't know about you. I would be much more willing to lay down my life than I would be my child's life, my spouse's life, their life. Take my life first, but don't mess with my kids, right? Take my life, but don't mess with the one I love. But I want you to understand this. You celebrate Christmas to know and remember God loves you so much that he sent his one and only son so that you could be connected to him and know him. That's the love he has for you. That's the love. And when you look at Christmas, that's what it's all about. Knowing as you celebrate, it's not simply celebrating just a holiday, but it's celebrating the fact that God loves you and sacrificed for you. Another reason we celebrate Christmas is to remember that you are valued by God the Son, Jesus Christ. You see, because God sent his Son, but Jesus came in human form. And by coming in human form, he had the same emotions, he had the same struggles, the same frustrations, the same pains, the aches, the sick, all the different issues that you deal with in life. Jesus dealt with it too, because he came in human form. And he had to make a choice to literally, what? To die on the cross for you. When you follow the story and you read through the story, you'll see where Satan tempted him. We know that we go through temptations and try to push him away from his mission. But Jesus used the word of God to correct and say, no, this is my purpose, this is my plan. We see through scriptures, we see the story when you follow it and you see that Jesus was at the point where he was coming upon the death on the cross. And he says, God, if there's any other way, if you can do it any other way, do it that way. Can anybody shout a big amen to that, right? I mean, if that's you, I can relate to that prayer. Lord, if there's another way, I'll take plan B. Like, A, it's not looking too good right now. But he said, if not, I'm in. Because this is my purpose. This is my plan. I'm going to die for everyone. I'm going to take on the sins of the world for everyone to find that freedom. That's why Galatians 5 tells us that it is for freedom that Christ set you free. So you would not be entangled and bound in that death, that trap of sin. That's why he died. That's why he sacrificed his life for your freedom. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 through 11 gives us an understanding of this. It says, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took a humble position of a slave and was born as a human being when he appeared in human form. He humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to a place high of the highest honor and gave him a name that is above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let me tell you something. There is power in the name of Jesus. Do you realize that? Whether or not you believe in him or not, there's power in his name. Don't believe me? You go amongst people who are non-believers and you shout out Jesus and that room will stop. You shout out other names and people will ignore you. Why? There is power in the name of Jesus. The dead are raised to life in the name of Jesus. The sick are healed in the name of Jesus. Life change happens in the name of Jesus. Why? Because it says right there in Philippians 2, because of his sacrifice, God elevated him to a place that is of highest honor, that at the name of Jesus, every tongue confess, every knee will bow. We see that and that concept. Why? Because we celebrate Christmas. We are in this point to know that you are valued. And one of the biggest tricks and lies of the enemy is he tries to make you think that you are a nobody, that God can't use you, God doesn't love you, you're dumb, you're stupid, you're useless, your past has disqualified you. And guess what? It decreases the value that God has in you. But God values you so much. God the Son, Jesus, values you so much that he was willing to die. He was willing to be crucified on a cross for your sin. Even though you didn't deserve it, though I didn't deserve it, he said, I'm going to do this because I value the creation. I value the individual. I value you. He values everything about you. When you begin to talk negative about yourself and put yourself down, I believe it breaks the heart of God. Because you're his creation and he doesn't mess up. You are valued in the kingdom of God. And we celebrate Christmas to remember and know that you are not alone. You have an advocate, God the Holy Spirit, with you. In a difficult world, oftentimes, we have so many forms of outlets to have friends, how many friends you have on Facebook or Instagram, and we have all these outlets, but yet we feel so lonely. In knowing that, God sent his, he loved you, so he sent his son. Jesus valued you, so he gave his life. But we see, he said, I'm not leaving you alone. I'm leaving you the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, that's going to give you peace, comfort, joy, and help you and give you direction in your life. Knowing that you will face times where you feel lonely. Look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 23. It says, Jesus replied, all who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come to make our home with each of them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey me. And remember, my words are not my own. What I am telling you is from the Father who sent me. So we can see God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit in this passage. This is Jesus speaking. He said, my words are from the Father who sent me. But I'm telling you these things now while I'm still with you. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. I am leaving you with a gift, a peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So do not be troubled or afraid. You see, you have an advocate who is the Holy Spirit that was given by God, the Father, transferred through the Son to you. Why? So that you can experience peace and joy and help when there's chaos going all around you. Once again, this is what separates our God from so many other religions. He's alive. You feel him. You know him. It's not some figment of an imagination, but it's real in your heart. You can sense it. You know it. And he's saying, I'm coming. I'm leaving, but I'm not leaving you alone. I'm leaving the Holy Spirit there. So when you celebrate Christmas, you're celebrating the fact that God's not dead. He's alive. He's living in you. You can feel. The Holy Spirit is what convicts you of your sins. It's what draws you to a place of knowing God and accepting Christ as your Savior. That feeling inside when you're sitting there saying, well, what is that tug? Why do I feel this feeling? That's the Holy Spirit saying, hey, come. Experience this hope. Experience this peace that only comes from knowing Christ, that only comes from experiencing God. And when you do that, you have this relationship that changes everything. So we see the perspective of God. God the Father, his perspective of Christmas, he loves you so much, he sent his Son. God the Son, he values you so much, he gave his life. God the Holy Spirit, he cares for you so much, he wants you to experience his peace and his joy. But let me ask you, what is your perspective? What is your perspective this morning? What do you see? Because perspective has the power to change the direction of your life. Do you realize that? Your point of view has the power to change the direction. Because if you look at this life and say, I cannot understand, I just don't believe any of this, then that's the perspective you have. That's the point of view you have, because your point of view is your vision. Your vision determines your direction, and direction, not intention, determines your destination. Do you see that progression? It would be bad if I just continue to walk this way, but look this way, right? I mean, at some point, y'all are going to start laughing because, I mean, there's going to be a problem, right? If I'm not looking where I'm going, there's imminent danger. Your vision determines your direction. Your direction, not intention, determines your destination. They all line up. And so you have to see this progression. You have to understand how this works in your life. What is your perspective? Oftentimes, we allow our circumstances to determine our perspective. Where we are, what we're facing, we allow that to be our perspective. And the problem with that is it creates an environment. And the environment determines what lives and dies, doesn't it? And if we're in a negative environment, in a negative situation, it often brings death to us because we allow that to dictate our situation. We're not looking at what could be, we're looking at what is. Are you tracking with me? And to know God, to experience the perspective of Christmas that he has for your life, you have to take on a new set of lenses and say, Lord, I'm going to look to you, the author and the finisher of my faith. I'm going to look to you to give me strength in this time. I'm not going to look upon the negative, but I'm going to look upon the hope. I'm going to look upon the peace that comes from you. I want you to watch a video that I saw this week. It was so powerful. It's a video of Lauren Daigle, Christian artist, who went to do a prison ministry in a maximum security prison. And she began to sing and worship amongst a group of prisoners. In the song she sings, you may have heard, but the words that say, you plead my cause, you right my wrong, you break the chains, you overcome. You gave your life to give me mine. You said that I am free. How can it be? But I want you to look and listen and watch how a perspective begins to change amongst some of the men in that room.
He sees the depth. He sees the beauty. He sees the goodness. He sees you for what you're actually worth.
Two.
listen to me. You see failure, but God sees your future. You think you're ugly, but God thinks you're beautiful. You think you may be stupid, but God sees brilliant. You think you may be rejected and God can't use you. But let me tell you something this morning. God sees accepted. You may see scars, but God sees evidence of healing. You may see a sinner, but God sees a Savior. Amen? Come on, would you give God praise in this place? He sees you differently. He sees you differently today. And the biggest lie that you can ever believe is that God cannot use you. The biggest lie that you can ever believe is that God is through with you. That your past dictates your future. But can I tell you something this morning? God is speaking life into you. He's speaking peace in you today. I want you to understand that what you see is not where you should be. God has a fresh perspective in your life. He wants great things for you. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard the glorious things that God has prepared for you. When you look at that story, that passage of scripture, it talks about heaven. It talks about the great things that God has in store. But can I tell you something? God's not done with you. He's not through with you. He has a plan for your life. And the biggest lie you'll ever believe is that God has no place for you. But no matter what you may see, God sees great. And I believe this morning God is wanting to speak into some of your lives and begin to rip apart the hardening of the hearts that has literally kept you from seeing how much He loves you. That's literally the past that has literally caused the pain among you that's literally kept you from opening. I believe there's literally just band-aids that need to come off, scales off the eyes to see you are God's creation. He has a plan for your life and He's not done. He's not done. So don't buy into the lies where you've sat in the silent cries and you've beat yourself up and you've made the devil proud because he says, look, they're beating themselves down. They don't think that they're nobody. I'm winning. But can I tell you something this morning? I believe the Holy Spirit is moving in this place right now to give you life so that you can experience Him, that you can know Him and know that He loves you so much that He was willing to give His only Son for your sin, for your life. And that Jesus values you so much that He was willing to die a criminal's death for you. And that the Holy Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit loves you so much that He wants you to feel that peace, to feel that love, and walk with you, encourage you. You are great in God's kingdom. You are loved in God's eyes. You are valued in God's eyes. You are valued. I want to sing an old song, Jesus Loves Me, that you've heard over your lives. But I want you to think of these words. I want them to settle into you for a moment. Sing, Jesus loves me. This. Do you know it? For the. Come on, sing it out. You got, some of you need to say this today. You need to say it. Little ones. Little ones to Him. They're weak, aren't we? They are. But He is, isn't it? He is. Now sing, yes, Jesus. Yes. Come on, some of you, you've got to make this a prayer. Loves me. Oh, yes. Jesus loves. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Jesus loves me. The Bible I want to sing it one more time. Some of you, there is literally something moving in your heart. You never found it so hard to sing that little song because you're making a declaration this morning. Some of you are realizing right now for the first time in a long time how much He loves you. You know He loves you, but you bought into the lies of the enemy that have made you think that you are less than you are. And God is speaking to you this morning, peace, joy, hope, and love, and wanting you to experience it today. But I want to sing it one more time. Sing it with me. Jesus loves me. For the Bible tells me so. For the Bible tells little ones. Little ones. To Him belong. To Him belong. They are weak. They are weak, but He is strong. But He is. Now sing, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Oh, yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me. This is what I want to do this morning. Some of you this morning, you need to make this a declaration. I want to go back to, yes, Jesus loves me. But I want right here, if you're here this morning and maybe the enemy has beat you up, he has lied to you and made you feel that you are less. And the perspective that you've had has literally shaped your thought. And you've been frustrated. You've been irritated at life. You've been tired. You've been weary. You've wanted to quit and give up. But this morning, the Holy Spirit is speaking life back into you. He's bringing hope and peace back into you. And today, He's reminding you that you are loved, that you are valued, and that He cares for you, and He wants to be there for you. If you're here this morning and you're saying, hey, I want to commit it to Him. I want to give it all to you, Lord. I know today I may have had a different perspective, but today I'm changing my perspective. Today I'm going to look at things different. I'm going to recognize that You love me. I'm going to recognize that You care for me, and I'm going to commit everything I have to You. As we sing this song one more time, if that's you this morning, if it's not, no pressure. You just sit right where you are. But if you're here this morning, you're saying, hey, I want to make that commitment. I want to say, Lord, I commit everything. I'm changing my perspective to You. I believe the Holy Spirit is moving strong in this place. And some of you, he's literally healing some broken hearts and some wounded hearts today. And if you're here this morning, I believe that God wants to just give you that peace, give you that comfort in this season right now as we sing this thing. Yes, Jesus loves. Now, if that's you this morning, just stand to your feet all across this room. Oh, yes. Thank you, Jesus. Loves me. Oh, yes, Jesus loves me. Come on, declare it. Lift your hands and declare it this morning. Declare it over your life. Yes, He does. Yes, He does. Yes, Jesus loves me. Oh, yes, Jesus loves me. Oh, yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me. Now, Father, I pray right now over each and every individual that is standing right here, Lord, that is saying, I want a fresh perspective. I want to see things differently. I want to recognize that I am loved, that I am valued, and that I have worth, and You care for me, and that You are there to give me peace and there to give me strength. And God, right now, I come against the lies, the enemy that has lied to so many people and made them believe that they are worthless. But Lord, You value them. And in this Christmas season, give us a fresh perspective that sees things that You love us so much You sent Your Son. That Jesus, You value us so much You gave Your life. And Holy Spirit, You care so much that You give us peace, joy, and comfort and direction in this time. And I thank You, Lord, that You are sealing a new perspective in the hearts of each and every one of us today. That we won't look ourselves as failures. We won't look at ourselves as terrible people, but we'll look at, Lord, that we are saved We are your children. We are chosen by you. And we thank you for that love, for that peace. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Before we close today, we never close a service without giving you an opportunity to know Christ. The most important thing we can ever do is share that hope and that peace that comes from Him. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, we want to give you that opportunity. We want to give you that opportunity to experience that hope and that peace and that joy and that love we talk about. Maybe you have accepted Him in your life, but you know what? Circumstances have come and you've walked away. Can I tell you something? God's not left. He's here. He's waiting on you with open arms. And today you're saying, Lord, I'm coming back to you. Whether you're accepting Him for the first time or coming back, He wants you to experience Him in a mighty way this morning. I'd ask everyone to close your eyes for a moment. Out of respect for others and reflection. But if you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, maybe you've accepted Him and you've walked away, but today you're saying, I want to come back to Him. If that's you this morning, I just want you to make eye contact with me right where you're sitting. Amen. We're not going to embarrass you, call you out. We're just going to pray with you right where you are. But anyone else here today? Amen. Anyone else? Amen. Anybody else? Well, let's pray. In Romans chapter 10, we say this. This is His word. It says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that He is Lord, then you are saved. The confession comes from simply saying, Lord, I confess my sins to you. The belief comes in the actions that you live beyond that. And if you're here today and you made that acknowledgement, maybe you didn't. Maybe you're not ready. That's okay. Just seek Him. If you seek Him, the Bible says you'll find Him. Maybe you want to pray anyway. You can. Because it's all about confessing and praying and believing. And I'm going to ask we all pray this together. To not single anyone out, but we're just going to declare this today. If you would join with me right now and say, Dear Jesus, I come to you today and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I believe that you died for me and rose again for me. And now today, I choose to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, the Bible says if you made that prayer, that confession, that all of heaven is rejoicing with you and we rejoice as well. Now it's the belief of saying, okay, I'm going to make a choice. What does that happen? You have to choose to connect to Christ and connect to the body and say, I'm going to become a part of what God is doing. If you don't have a church home, we want to welcome you to ours and be a part of our family and what God is doing, the part of the family of God. If you do, then we understand. We're just excited for you as you go and begin that journey there as well. But just take this time and know that you are valued. You are loved by God. You are valued. And He cares for you so much. And His Holy Spirit is here to comfort you and give you peace, direction, and empower you in your life. Amen. Amen. Praise God.